Welcome back to God Invention Radio, presented by Inventor's Digest. And now, here's your host, Brian Free.
Welcome back to segment three of God Invention Radio. We have Tom Colson from IP.com on with us. A lot of great information, a lot of great emails coming in. Thank you for all this great advice. I'd just like to take a moment and just let everybody know, if you haven't already done so, go to the front of GotInvention.com website, and you see where it says subscribe to our newsletter. Just put in your email address in there so you can hear all different things that are going on with GotInvention Radio. And prior to the show, you will also get information on the guests for the evening. So please take a look at that and sign up if you haven't already done so. All right, Tom, you with us, right?
I'm here.
Okay, where were we? I think we pretty much covered what we wanted to with segment two, and we were going to start off this segment with what?
Well, I think you wanted to take some questions in segment two, three before we jump to the next part of our stuff that we're doing.
Okay, let me take a look and see. We have just me and you on the lines right now. There are some questions. I had a little bit of technical issues with my equipment here, so I didn't look at the questions
in between. Okay, why don't I jump ahead to our next stop or part, and then you can interrupt me with questions when you have them.
Great. Let me open the lines one more time, 877-474-3302. Oh, here's the question. Hold on one second. I have a question from George. George is asking, if you're not a patent attorney anymore, what do you do?
Well, great question. I was a patent attorney until around late 90s. Now I run. I'm the CEO of IP.com. I left patent law, but I stayed in the intellectual property field. And what we do is essentially we have software and services to help people succeed with their intellectual property decisions and intellectual property fortresses, if you will.
Okay.
And you can take a look at it at IP.com. Maybe the greatest domain name on the planet for intellectual property.
I totally agree. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, we bought it in 1997 for like $20,000.
Oh, my gosh. All right, here's another question, Tom. Brian, I need to know which patent to apply for, or should I apply for a trademark to product the accessory? Please help. I've designed an accessory that serves a certain purpose. Since I began, I created over 30 different styles of this accessory. Not sure which way to go. Thanks, Wiz.
Great question. Let me just talk briefly about what a trademark is so that we can ease into that question. How about that, Brian?
Perfect.
Okay. So there's patents, there's copyrights, and there's trademarks. Those are the big three in terms of intellectual property that people think of. So what is a trademark? A trademark is not protecting the function or the usefulness of a product. It's protecting the identity or the source of the product development. So you might have, it's really the name. It's typically the name of the product. So a good example might be rollerblades. Rollerblades, the actual product probably has 20 patents associated with the wheels and the shoelaces or whatever the various parts of a rollerblade are. But it also has a trademark called rollerblade. And that is meant to identify it versus any other inline skates out there. And you notice I use the word inline skates because rollerblade is probably scared to death that their trademark will become what's called generic. In other words, it doesn't have trademark significance anymore. You can't use it as a trademark because it's become a generic term. So they're probably always preaching to people to say inline skating instead of rollerblading. But rollerblade would be the trademark. So in this case, they have product accessories, and it sounds to me like they need to be thinking about both patent and trademark protection. And both can be powerful. We talked about utility patents, and probably devices and things like that are the classic utility patents. But what they might have to do is get a strong trademark because they might not be able to get a patent that is worthwhile. They might not be able to get a patent that has broad enough claims to block competitors from copying their invention. And then what you want to have is an exceptionally strong brand. And, Brian, I'm sure you know all about that. But brand is something that can keep competitors out just as well. Because even though they can copy the product, if you are the lead brand, everyone wants your stuff, and that brand alone will drive traffic, and that brand alone will prevent copiers. So I'd say she or she should be thinking about both.
That's great. And that brand is really protected by, number one, the trademark.
You
right?
got it. That's right. Because trademarks can be trademarks, which is typically the names of products, service marks, which are typically the names of services, and there's also something called trade dress, which is sort of the look and feel of the trademark. That could be the color scheme that they have. Harder to get protection on, but it could be even more powerful if it gets into your brain that those are the colors for the best product out there in the area of widgets. So you could get trademark, service mark, trade dress protection, and if somebody infringes it, same kind of process. You go get a lawyer, you sue for trademark infringement instead of patent infringement, you try to get a preliminary injunction to get them to stop using it. Above all, though, you spend a lot of money.
That's excellent. You know what, Tom? I want to ask this one question because I'm just kind of dissecting what this one question is. And if we could do it as fast as possible, because I also want to cover non-disclosures and a couple other things in this segment. But
sure.
You have Apple Bank, you have Apple Computer, and you have Apple Ice Truck, ice packing. Tell
Great
me
question.
How everybody could be using the same name. Well,
excellent
at
question.
Least to start.
Excellent question. That is a great example of what a trademark really is. A trademark is intended to protect the source so that there's no confusion as to the source of the product or service. Okay, no confusion as to the source of the product or service. One way that they determine, so when the trademark office is looking at it and saying, these two are too close, they're going to confuse people in the marketplace. One thing they look at is the name. Is the name the same? Well, in this case, there's three apples. And they say, yes, it passed test number one. It looks like it could be an infringer. But test number two is, are they in similar enough products or services that people would be confused as to the source? And I forgot what all the products and services were, but they sounded very different. Apple for computers is very different than Apple for automobiles, which is very different than Apple for kitchen appliances. So the question comes down to, in the minds of consumers, would a consumer think that Apple kitchen appliances is the same company that makes computers? And if the answer is no, and I'm fairly certain it would be, then the court would say, no, it's not infringing because, again, there must be confusion as to, or likelihood of confusion as to the source of the product. And that
okay.
wouldn't exist in that example.
Thank you for that, Tom. That was great. Okay, so tell us, a lot of us inventors fear going and revealing our trade secrets, our invention, and we want to use these, what we hear about is a non-disclosure agreement. What does it do for us? Does it really save us?
That's a great question. And by the way, that fear is spread across the planet. Little inventors, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, let's just say those that are not super wealthy, they are in an awkward position because they want to go out to the market. They might not, the smartest thing, the safest thing is to file a good patent application before you go to market. And then you can talk to whoever you want, and you have your place in line. But a lot of people can't afford that, and they want to test it first, which is also very smart, by the way. One way to do that is to only tell your close family members and hope that you can trust them. But that usually doesn't work for you because they're not manufacturers, they're not marketers. So you might have to go outside of that, and then the non-disclosure agreement could be a pretty useful tool for you. But you must get an attorney to prepare that. And by must, I don't mean that it's a legal requirement. I mean that it is such a dangerous practice anyway. You want to make sure that it's written perfectly. Because what does it really mean? It means that you're telling this other person they cannot disclose your invention. But let's say they do disclose it before you filed your patent application. You could sue them, and you might prevail, and you might get a lot of money for that. But once it's out in the public domain, it doesn't matter how it got there, which means that it's out there now, and it becomes prior art. So let's say that you disclose an invention to XYZ company, and for some crazy reason, they write a white paper and they publish it. Once it's out there, it doesn't matter if you have a non-disclosure agreement. It's out there, and your rights could be burned. So you want to be very cautious to make sure that you have a good non-disclosure prepared by a lawyer that you can get legal recourse against the person who disclosed it. In some ways, a non-disclosure for most people, because they don't have the money to enforce it, is more of a social contract. It's essentially to put enough fear into the person that you're talking to that they won't do it, even though, in all likelihood, most small inventors might not have the money to enforce those anyway.
And when you do disclose it for that first time, that's when the clock ticks for any kind of patent protection that you're able to file for?
That's right. Now, I say it ticks in the U.S. Once you make a public disclosure, and that's defined in a way that I'm not going to bore everybody with, but every time you make a disclosure of any kind, talk to your lawyer to make sure that it is the kind of disclosure that isn't starting the clock ticking. If you make a disclosure under non-disclosure agreement with somebody, the clock doesn't start ticking. But if that becomes public, it would start ticking. And that's in the U.S. The rest of the world, substantially, there is no clock. Once it's published, you've lost your patent rights. If you want to get a patent in Europe and you've made a public disclosure of it, you're done. You can't get a patent because they don't have a clock that's ticking. It's immediate for them. In the U.S., we have a one-year clock, so you can disclose it publicly at a conference or in a journal or something like that, make an offer for sale, and the clock starts ticking and you have a year, at least at the moment, unless the law changes. But in Europe, in other parts of the world, it's immediate.
That's very interesting. We have about 1 minute left. Tell us a little bit about what a trade secret is. We hear that sometimes.
Great question. Yep. A trade secret is pretty much a secret. When I was a lawyer, I always used to try to figure out why these are so valuable. It's just a secret. But it is valuable. Look at Coca-Cola, the most famous trade secret in the world. If that had been patented back in 1930 or whenever, it would have been expired by 1947 or so, and everyone would have the Coca-Cola formula, and the brand would be very weak right now. A trade secret is essentially a secret. But, this is a big but, most people think they have trade secret protection, and they don't, because trade secret protection requires a rigorous process to keep it secret. You need to have a definable process within your organization, and you need to adhere to it rigorously so that when you try to enforce your trade secret against someone who has leaked it or stolen it, you can show the court that, A, I have a valid process, and, B, we have strongly adhere to that process within our organization. Once you've done that, then there's actually legal recourse. You can do all kinds of things.
Very interesting. Absolutely. It sure does. Thank you, Tom. All right. Tom Colson from IP.com is with us. We'll be back with segment four, and we are going to be speaking about international filing, international patenting, protection, all that good stuff. We'll be back in a few moments on Got Invention Radio.
Do you have an idea or an invention and not sure what to do next? Take the first step and get your copy of the book, You and Your Big Ideas by Brian Fried. From protecting your idea to developing it and bringing your product to market, this handy resource guide is a must-have for every inventor, innovator, and entrepreneur. This book is all about you and your big ideas and bringing them to life. Only $10.95. Order now and also receive your free product evaluation kit with the book. Call now.
From the newest Apple iPhone to the latest BlackBerry, Droid, or iPad, businesses are racing to use smartphones to provide content to their customers in real time to make informed decisions. Is your company positioned for the mobile application market? Is your website mobile compatible? WS Radio is proud to partner with one of the leading mobile software companies in the world. MentorMate has been programming mobile solutions since 2001 with 10 years of mobile application development experience. They provide companies with a broad range of services from creating custom iPhone apps to full-service custom software development. Because of their proven experience in the evolving mobile application market, MentorMate is leading the way with battle-tested solutions. Beware of startups. Experience is what counts. Go with a proven leader. For a free consultation, go to MentorMate.com/voice of mobile. That's MentorMate.com/voice of mobile.
Adley Law Group is an international intellectual property, business law, and litigation firm located in Los Angeles with offices in London, Tokyo, and Taipei. They are your one-stop shop for all your legal needs regarding your IP, including registration, marketing, licensing, and litigation. They will help you protect your intellectual property rights anywhere in the world by obtaining patent protection for your inventions and registering your trademark and copyrights. They can help you achieve your marketing goal for your invention, whether your goal is to produce, license, or sell your invention. They can assist you with your business legal needs, including reviewing, drafting, and negotiating contracts, business deals, and licensing agreements anywhere in the world. They are also there to defend your rights. When someone uses your IP work without your authorization, or when you are involved in litigation regarding any intellectual property or business matter, visit us online at www.adlilaw.com. That's ADLILAW.com, or call us at 213-623-6546.
There's nothing small about the challenges of running a small business. That's why CBeyond offers big solutions to help you grow. In fact, more than 50,000 small businesses nationwide count on CBeyond's award-winning communications and IT services, like our local and long-distance, high-speed broadband, mobile, web hosting, data backup and security, plus more than 30 productivity-enhancing applications. To learn more, log on to CBeyond.net. That's the letter C, Beyond.net. Big solutions for growing your small business. Business.